Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the Lush But Not Lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers episode 484, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. So it's a little late, but for good reason. So before we jump in, we'll go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us today is our resident Godzilla expert, creator and original host of Mystery Science Theater 3000, Joel Hodgson. Hey, Joel, how's it going?
Oh, hey, you guys. Hey, Tom. Thanks. I'm happy to be here with you guys. I did go see Godzilla King of Monsters, and I have to say, I'm only going to be so sharp on this topic because I fell asleep during it. And it was something when it was kind of icy. That's all I remember is it was pretty icy. And then I fell asleep. And then the next thing I knew, my son was waking me up going, it's over. The movie's over.
It sounds like the entire movie. That's pretty much the synopsis,
that's
right?
About it. Yeah. I think we're done. All right. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. It's funny. I told Kevin, I was like, hey, Godzilla and I have something in common. We both slept through 80% of this movie.
It felt like, to me, just generally about this movie, like there was some deal, you know, they kind of go, we've got great news, fellas. We can do the next Godzilla. It's going to be Godzilla King of Monsters. You can be just like Destroy All Monsters, have all of the creatures. But we have this side deal with this thing through IMAX, which is a galvanic skin response system where we can tell where the audience is enjoying the movie or not. And we have to make this movie to test the equipment. We have to make a movie that does not make any sense and is not pleasurable. But it's kind of like, that's what it felt like. They kept like interrupting anything that could happen. It was so weird, but I don't want to interrupt your flow, but that just was my take on it. It was so crazy.
Well, no, I felt kind of the same. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from, because it was like they would do something really, really cool. And they're like, all right, now let's go leave and follow these people for 30 minutes before we show another monster.
Yeah, I remember the reviews came out and people were just like, the negative reviews said that there was too much character development and no, there was not enough character development and not too much monster smashing. And as I'm sitting there, I was like, I don't give a shite about any of these people. I don't care about your divorce. I don't care about your dead kid. I want to see Godzilla atomic breath the crap out of Rodan. And that doesn't happen until like the very end of the movie.
And when you do see it, it's awesome. But that's the problem. Yeah. Is it's like they're like, let's create this huge spectacle, these amazing special effects. The monsters are cool. The action is cool. But now we have to go travel to this place. Like most of the movie felt like the Lord of the Rings. Like they were just walking around or something.
And I was like, oh, Godzilla's going to. Yeah.
They didn't have topography. They didn't like really express really where anybody was, except for the beginning when it was like, was it Chichen Itzan, Tom? Is that like, wasn't it or something where she was?
It's been like 2 weeks since I've seen this movie at this point, so because I saw a preview screening, so I remember virtually nothing about this film. It was like
cinematic diarrhea. It just like went right through me.
But you're in Chichen Itza right now, right? You're in Cancun right now. You're on ground zero for
Mothra attack.
Mothra.
That's what I was thinking, because they go to Mexico and Tom's in Mexico right now, and that's where the
It was in a temple. It just felt like if you looked at it like a three-act structure, they threw so much stuff in. Like there's a couple that are suffering through a divorce, and there's a teenage girl, and you start to go, wow, you know, you didn't have to tell us that immediately. Like, you could wait till the end of the first act and then say, oh, and my dad's a researcher too, and he's essential to help us solve this problem. But they dropped it in there so fast. It felt like The Parent Trap with kaiju.
Joel, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Most of the original, not the original, but most of the Godzilla flicks, your main hero is either like a rookie reporter or like a lower level scientist that knows what's going on, but the upper echelon won't listen to them.
Well, I think they quickly, after the first one, which was in 1956 or something,
was
genuinely a fantastic, scary, inventive movie, I think it quickly became kids' movies. And so that's why they're so hard to translate to today's culture, you know, 60 years, 70 years later, because they really were made for kids. And that was what was troubling about this movie is, because I think they said damn and shit, and I think they swore in it.
There was an F-bomb.
You're like kind of going, yeah, there was like F-bombs, and you're kind of going, these are like kids' movies. Like, you kind of can't have it both ways. But I thought it was really telling when, but you're right, exactly. There usually is somebody who's a surrogate who's kind of tracking it. And I also get lost because we did so many Gamera movies that they all kind of blend. They all kind of blend together for me. But yeah.
That was the turtle with the spikes, right?
Baragon? I can't even tell you, man.
Okay.
Well, all I noticed was we recently reviewed Detective Pikachu, and they got the island monster with the shell that's like an island.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because you know that Godzilla people are stealing stuff from Pikachu. Yeah, it's not like that character's Pokemon. Ever appeared before.
Right.
So, Joel, did you see the previous Godzilla movie that came out about 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And what happened? That was a good movie. I really liked the way it kind of dealt with, like, the dread and fear. If you're going to make a more like mature Godzilla movie, it dealt with kind of the existential terror of this giant monster wreaking havoc, and they completely lost the threat on that, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, it was kind of like there was the Roland Emmerich one, which was nuts, and then there was the latest one, which kind of put it back in its like in a reasonable place.
Right.
For a giant monster movie. And then this one undid everything, and we're further off than the Roland Emmerich version.
Did you see King Kong Skull Island?
Yeah.
And like, so that movie, unlike Godzilla, I felt like was a monster movie, but a pretty serious movie. And I felt like King Kong Skull Island was just a big dumb monster movie, but I thought it was a blast. I thought, okay, we're gonna get Godzilla and all these monsters. It's gonna be a slugfest. It'll be fun.
Yes. I think that's what we all thought, right? Going into this, this is like Skull Island. They like the visceral, the most fun. You know, all the way they framed that movie was perfect. And you kind of go, oh, they have a formula now. Awesome, but it was not that. And there were a couple of things. I tried to take a few notes before I fell asleep on this. And there were a couple of things. There were a couple of weird things that kind of, happened that were very disorienting. But I felt like it was weird when the girl was so, you know, when Mothra is born, and they go to that special laboratory that's hidden in like a temple, an Aztec temple, and it hatches, and the girl says, yells out Mothra so lovingly. you're going, what? I miss like chapters of explanation of why she adores Mothra. And right then you start to go, there's little checks that go off that make you start to go, oh no, I do not understand why this is important. I could be in a lot of trouble with this movie. It may not make sense. It just kept happening.
Well, it's like, well, so they turned it into this big scientific thing, and I'm guessing what this is supposed to be, a metaphor for climate change and trying to take care of the planet.
I don't want a metaphor in a Godzilla movie.
But that's kind of what...
I want Godzilla to punch a monster. That's what I want.
But the original Godzilla was a response to the
atomic testing.
To the bombs being dropped. So, I mean, with this one, I get... It's fine if they wanted to say something, but they really hammered home the scientific stuff. And I think the mistake was that whereas Kong was more of a spectacle, a slugfest, again, the humor was there. Like Kong, as Joel said, was framed so well and was so much fun. This one was like, okay, the monsters fight for a few minutes. It looks really awesome. Now let's go back to this, the scientists and this argument of, you know, Godzilla is our friend and we're going to use him to help us fight the other monsters because we want those other monsters to destroy the Earth so it can rebuild. And it was just like it went into this really heavy-handed kind of, mankind is ruining the Earth thing. And I think it really lost most of the fun that could have been happening.
That's the problem.
But did it look awesome? I mean, there were large swaths of this movie could have been on the radio. It was so hard to see. At one point, I was like, I think he might literally be fighting Fibber McGee and Molly. I don't know what's going on. I see nothing.
I think it depends on your theater, too. But like, so the one I was at was really well lit. It was brighter. I mean, I didn't have any trouble seeing it. Now, they did do the old cliche of like, let's have them fight in the rain at night. Which, it makes it easier to cover up CG stuff. But if the screen was bright enough, it wasn't like indiscernible, but it still was that very dark.
It's insane because all of Kong is during the day.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Kong is set in the daylight the whole time, but it looks fine.
But one giant ape fighting humans and bullets and stuff is different than 50 monsters.
He would fight like he fought that giant weird octopus or whatever. And
there was lots of other CGI creatures in the movie that he fought.
Yeah, I don't know. I really can't explain it because this movie looks like they spent a ton of money on it.
Yeah, they did.
I'm not really sure why they didn't give us more of the monster slugfest.
It's also a weird choice in director. I like Mike Doherty. I think Mike Doherty is fine.
What is he?
So he is responsible for Krampus.
Okay.
He directed, remember that Christmas movie?
I mean, I remember it, but I'm still trying to get the connection of why he's doing this. Go on.
That's the thing. That's a hell of a promotion to go from Krampus to a $200 million tentpole picture.
Well, because the other one was Gareth Edwards. And he directed Rogue One, right?
Yes.
I mean, Gareth Edwards, I mean, among other things, but like he's doing big movies like Star Wars movies and he knows how, and that Godzilla movie was really good. And so I feel like maybe it was a little bit of a mistake to go with.
I mean, he's more of a writer, and I'm going to read you his writing credits and you're not going to be impressed.
Okay.
X-Men 2. All right. Not bad. Superman Returns, not good.
Oh, the new guy, this guy, Krampus?
Okay. Trick or Treat, which is not bad. Yeah. Krampus, X-Men Apocalypse, and he did the screenplay for this.
So he's a horror guy, and they said...
He's a Bryan Singer guy.
But Trick or Treat...
But wait a second, fellas, you guys are behaving like this is, like the recipe is all there, but I have a feeling the recipe was all there, but there was something that happened that was incredibly disruptive, some kind of event that kept this movie from happening the way
The recipe was all there, except they switched the sugar for the salt.
That could be, but I bet it was something like, hey, we've got this dream team, we put it all together, but this has to be released in 6 months. And it was some crazy thing like that, like, okay, we think we can do it. Okay, that means we're going to have to start the CG before we really know what the story is. It doesn't matter. Let's go. I have a feeling it was something like that. There was something that was so weird about this. Like, do you remember that moment when the guy says, he starts to say something like, Godzilla has like underground tunnels under the floor of the ocean that work like wormholes?
Yes. Yeah. Bradley Whitford.
Okay. Okay, so when that happens, you know that they're in an incredible amount of trouble in making the movie make sense. And I think they shot all that. I bet you anything they shot all that after they did all that, all the other stuff. So they said, okay, this movie doesn't make sense. We'll seam it all together with the group in the lab. They'll explain everything. But when the guy's saying, there's no explanation why Godzilla can get around the way he can get around. You know you're in trouble as a movie. There's something, there was something going on there that was so weird. I don't know.
It was really hard to figure out a timeline because of that. And it's like, even when they explain how Godzilla would get from point A to point B, as ridiculous as it was, they never explained how the people would get there that quickly. Because these same people would just be like, oh, he's in San Francisco now, and there they are.
Well, did you also notice that? So in the very first scene, and it all starts out with Ken Watanabe, who's like, Godzilla's our friend. We're going to use him to, you know, help us all. We're going to be friends with Godzilla now. And then they're like, okay, what are his patterns? Okay, he has 50 million different routes, and they all have him going to this one convenient place. Like, what? It seemed so convenient that he has all these routes around the globe, and they were able to trace that every route brought him through to Antarctica.
I can even let that go if there was more monster smashing.
Well,
you know, like if they're just like, this is the one spot. I was like, okay, cool. So we're going to go to that one spot. And he's going to punch like, you know, Mega Godzillas or something.
If you're going to give us lousy exposition in order to facilitate monster punching, then there needs to be like 30 seconds of lousy exposition, minutes of lousy exposition.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
One thing that was really funny, I counted that they said stand down over 8 times in the first 20 minutes. So they kept saying stand down to everybody. So that's also maybe an indicator of like a bad movie if they say stand down too much. The other thing is it looked like the dad lived in Tony Stark's house. Did you notice that?
he had a pretty like, sweet setup.
Really, this idyllic, beautiful thing that was on a river or something. I don't know. It was kind of like, I don't know what it was, but this movie is amazing in that it kind of represents this perfect model of all these things that, like you guys were talking about ingredients before, and it's kind of like it has all the ingredients that we kind of went in going, yeah, there should be a way that this could be arranged that it will be really fun because we're all hoping for that, and they didn't get to it, and it was so frustrating. But I would say that it was something like they kind of said, we have all the ingredients for a fantastic meal, but unfortunately, instead of taking 3 hours to make it, we only have 15 minutes to make it. and that's what this felt like to me, and I couldn't tell you why. But anyway, it's kind of unique. I think the film is unique in its ability to allow you to feel nothing for that long. Like maybe there are other uses. Maybe there are other uses for this movie, like in Triage or something, where someone comes in and there was an explosion and they could bring them in and play this movie. And it's kind of like could anesthetize pain or something. but anyway, that's my piece on it. And again, I have to apologize. I fell asleep. Like I would say I made it halfway through. So I feel kind of like not really qualified to discuss it. But that's my piece on it, you guys.
Did you see the huge three-headed dragon monster that shoots electricity?
You mean Monster Zero?
Yeah.
You mean King Ghidra?
Yeah. You saw him in action. Okay. Yeah. So after seeing all these monsters, the only question I have left is, how is Kong going to fight these super powerful atomic electrified...
He's gone. King Ghidra's gone.
No. But I just... Oh. You see the amount of strength. Godzilla destroyed Ghidra. So now Kong is... I don't think Kong is in the same...
Kong was small. He wasn't full grown yet.
They'll have a plot device that makes him stronger. That's my prediction.
They're going to shoot him full of super soldier serum.
Right, something.
I felt like the thing that would be really tantalizing with Kong, because what I think is so great about Kong versus Godzilla is, like, Kong is an American monster and Godzilla is a Japanese monster. And it's almost like it should be like two genres fighting each other. So I think that it has yet to be really exploited yet, obviously. But the thing I wanted to say, and I'll close with this, is the thing about King Ghidra that was so weird where they're going, yeah, big problems. All these giant monsters are coming alive. How many of them are there? 17. Okay, fine. Oh, and another thing, King Ghidra, when you cut off his head, he grows another one. So you just got that to look forward to, too. So it's just like by that point, you're just going, I just don't care. I don't care. There's 17 giant monsters, and then King Ghidra can grow his head back. It just was unfair. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
We really appreciate it.
Of course. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I was thinking that it's kind of cool that the movie ended up not being good, because that means that I'm kind of an honorary mad scientist. I sent Joel to see a bad movie.
That's true. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. You kind of are. Yeah.
I'm adding that to my LinkedIn page as we speak.
You're an semi-official mad.
Yes.
So shall we just go through and talk about some of the main plot points now and get into the characters a little more?
This whole thing opens up.
Totally. I know it'll be kind of a non-traditional episode, but it was worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it. So the whole movie opens up back in 2014. We're introduced to Coach Taylor, who, I got to tell you, always fun to see.
Kyle Chandler's great.
I mean, he's doing what he can do. He's not, you know, doing anything out of the ordinary.
But with this material, I was like, he's fine. He's good.
Yeah. And you've got Vera Farmiga and
great. And Bradley Whitford is a goddamn national treasure.
He saves this movie.
His lines. I mean, every time he was on screen, he was at least well written for. I don't know if he improv some of that, but
I don't think he is well written for. I think he has such good line delivery that he takes lousy lines and makes them sound good. Like, I watching him on Handmaid's Tale, which is not bad writing. I don't mean to say that, but like watching him on Handmaid's Tale,
the Emmy award winning Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. Like, he'll take lines that like, there's no way there was humor in that line on the page. And he finds something funny in it in a show that's not funny at all.
Not funny. Yeah.
And I love Bradley Whitford. I know he was almost our Chandler Bing.
Oh, that
would have been interesting.
I could totally see it.
So, yeah, I mean, I just really, you know, we didn't touch on a lot of character stuff, but
you don't need to. That's the thing. That's the thing that is insane about these movies is Kong gets it right. So they give you the little army. They give you Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson. That's all you need. That whole movie should be Kong skinning a tree and using it like a baseball bat.
Right. They're trying to elevate these movies by giving you all the background of the characters, and they want to make you feel something. But I agree, they went overboard, and I looked like when I was watching this movie toward the end, I'm like, is this a 3-hour movie?
it's a long movie.
It feels really long, and that's
220, wasn't it?
Yeah, it felt like three. Because when Katie and I got out of the movie, she's like, I feel like Avengers Endgame felt shorter than this because something's always happening. But this movie in between monster fights was just like, we're traveling here. Now we have to travel to this location.
Right.
Now we're traveling to this site where this monster is. Now we're traveling. Like, all it was just traveling around the globe. And then eventually the humans would get in danger, and then Godzilla would come out and beat whatever monster was there,
right,
and then would disappear into the distance.
One of the things that bothered me with the movie is, and it's something that I feel like we're getting less of in disaster movies, but this one felt like that, is that by focusing so tightly on this family, this marital dynamic and the relationship with the kid, there are still a lot of people that died. I mean, a lot of people.
And they destroyed Boston. Boston was gone.
Which is not the worst thing. But
it's not. I agree. It was good timing for this city, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. But seriously, though, it's like so many people are dying, and they don't address it in any way whatsoever. And in the first Godzilla movie, you got the sense of scale of how many people were dying and what a tragedy it is. And in this one, it's all just background noise to, like, will these two parents get back together for this kid? Which is dumb, especially in today's world of, like 50% of the world comes from homes with divorced parents. Like, your parents don't get along. Wah, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't care about them getting back together.
No.
I think
she is the cause of all of this. Well, so she is the villain.
Right. Well, and it's really weird because they try to spin it as in, you know, she thinks she's doing the right thing or whatever. But, you know, if they're going to go into all this characterization, I didn't like how they don't even explain really like you infer that the divorce is because a kid died and then it's like, oh, they see differently or whatever, but they never really went into the breaking point to me. And then
they just said that he was drinking.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, his kid got chewed up by Godzilla.
And
I don't blame him.
And the rest of the movie, they're like trying to make you care that they get back together. And it's like,
well,
we don't even.
But here's the deal. There are tens of thousands of people whose kids got chewed up by Godzilla. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's not a tragedy, but also his tragedy isn't special in this world.
Yeah,
right?
It's not like Godzilla targeted his one child.
Yeah, and so it's like, why should we, like, why do we feel so bad about the loss of his child, but we don't care about, the movie doesn't address the what has to be tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of other children who have died across the globe at the hands of Godzilla.
Also, this is something I will never, ever say. I agree with the government.
Yeah. Yes, kill them all.
Kill
this,
them all.
You know what? When I was seeing this movie, I go, this is the Rampage problem. Yeah. This is The Rock looking at George and going like, no, I'll take care of it. Hey,
right.
buddy. Hey, calm down. And then this thing goes and kills everybody. If the government would have, and I know that it's hard. Obviously, they couldn't really kill them because these things are like indestructible. But the right thing to do would have been to do everything you can to kill them.
Yes.
And usually you don't agree with the government. But in this one, the government was the good guy. Vera Farmiga was the bad guy because she's basically like, we need to reboot humanity. Like humans, she's Thanos.
She is Thanos.
Right. She's
without
saying,
being as good as Thanos.
Well, right, but she's like, humans are destroying the planet. We cause the wars. And I also like how she had a whole PowerPoint presentation to show the
ridiculous.
Dead. She calls to the government and has to explain to them through this bad exposition we were talking about.
Was that the one with CCH Pounder? Was that scene?
Sure, I don't know what that
is. She's the gal who was like the... Like the head chair
okay,
or whatever.
In the war room or whatever, she calls in when she finally gets a connection to them and because we had just seen her previously press the button to unleash...
King Ghidra.
Ghidra?
Yeah. Who okay. apparently was based... Like, the Tony Harris Red Dragon was based on... If you look at... There's a scene where they're throwing down, like, all of the information and papers on these different monsters.
Yeah.
The picture of the Red Dragon from Red Dragon... is in this.
Okay.
So, like that scene that
so he like Dellerhide, worshipped this mythology or whatever.
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they were like, hey, you know, it'd be funny if we threw this in. I think it's a complete coincidence.
So apparently Vera Farmiga brainwashed her daughter to think that she was really going to help these monsters and help the planet, but what she didn't explain to her was that she was freeing these monsters to destroy humanity and these places so they could rebuild. So before she knows that, they have like the bridge scene where the dad's on one side and the daughter and the mom are on the other side, and you actually see the mom go and pick up the remote detonator that's going to free Ghidra, and she just does it. So you're
This was the heel turn, if you will, where it's just like, was it though? Like, we kind of all, she didn't fight when they came and got her. I knew she was the bad guy the entire time.
Well, but you also don't want them to kill your daughter. Like, everything to this point was like, okay, they just killed everyone but her and the daughter. Like, I'm going to play it cool here for a second. But so we find out that she's the villain and, like Thanos, wants to reboot humanity. And so the whole movie,
if she was really like Thanos, this would have been snappier.
there you go. So well done.
Thank you.
The whole government, like we said, wants to kill all the monsters, but Ken Watanabe is like on this from the very beginning. He's like, no, even though all the stuff with Godzilla happened in the last movie, he's like, no, like we've interrupted them. They were here before us. And so he's all like, we need to make friends with Godzilla and then he will protect us from the other monsters, which ends up happening the whole time. I will say
The thing. I still am a little unclear. Just exactly what did we do to make Godzilla like us? Nothing.
Right. No, he just knew. That's the problem is that Godzilla just knew. Of all the humans that have tried to bomb him and kill him and destroy him and all that other stuff that you see in every monster movie with the military bombing the monster, like of all those things that have happened, and then Godzilla swims up to the window and he's supposed to think, oh, the shield's up. They're good.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I got to tell you, though, I kind of liked this scene. Like the way it was shot, I liked when they opened the shields and all you can see is... his back light up, and they're so deep in the water that it's very dark. So I just like that. It's almost like Jaws 3, unfortunately, where I just like...
You're
like,
doing so well.
I know. But like that, I like the way that scene was set up, where you just see him off in the distance, and you see the lights on him light up.
It looked cool. It's a cool concept, I'll give you that, but here's the problem I had with that. Sometimes when you see Godzilla, he's as tall as a building, and he can pick up a building and pick his teeth with it. He's gigantic. They were in this one little tiny room with one little tiny window. I mean, tiny relative to Godzilla. And he shows up and his head is like 1/5 the size of the glass.
I totally agree.
He's a gigantic monster. Yeah. Yet when he swims up, his whole body fits in the window.
Right.
the scale of this movie was
it's off. Very off.
And sometimes he was big, sometimes he was, you know.
Somebody posted
it was cold.
Well, yeah,
that's true.
That's a good point. Yeah. Because of the funny meme that was going around with the poster, when you see Godzilla and his short little stubby legs, in this movie, that poster is made from the scene where he's up at the top of the water and shoots a beam out. Yeah, what the hell is he standing on? It makes
no idea.
He's stubby. Like, if you see his whole top of his body, his legs are 1/10 of that.
Right.
And he can't kick his feet to stay afloat. The physics don't make, I don't know.
At all.
It's weird to pick apart a Godzilla movie, but again, like, based on
it's weird to pick apart maybe the science of a Godzilla movie, but something as simple as the size of the monster seems much like fair game.
Right, that's what I mean. It's like, I'm not going to, okay, the you know, Ghidra shoots electricity and Godzilla has atomic blast power and all that. That's cool. Like, I'm here to see that. It's all cool. I'm not ever going to argue with it. But yes, the physics of just like how the world works, it's very strange that I think that stuff kind of takes you out of it. Again, as weird as that is to say, because you're like, yeah, I'm here for this big bombastic monster movie. Let's go. But then these things will take you out of it where you're like, oh, they did that because it looks cool.
Right.
But they're not explaining how he's doing it.
The problem that we run into with these movies is, like we said, the 2014 Godzilla movie was a blast. Like, that was a fun movie.
I thought it was really good.
The Kong movie was a blast. Like, that was a lot of fun.
And that's when Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch got it on, right? Right before they were
in Godzilla. That's post. That's post-Avengers.
Oh, it was post.
Yeah.
Okay, because it was weird because those movies came out though right around the same time.
They did,
2013 and 14 or whatever. And so they were a couple in one and brother and sister in the next.
Well, if you read the Ultimates 2, 3, it's a little bit different. Anyway, but like, and then Kong, they give you the character stuff along, Godzilla 2014 is a pretty good mix of the character stuff along with Smashy Smash.
Yeah.
Kong is Smashy Smash.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other. Yeah.
Godzilla backloaded the smashing, right? Like, it was. Like,
yes, they did.
That first hour was pretty slow.
But
deliberate, and I think it worked. But in this one, every time they stopped to talk, you were just like, shut up.
That's exactly right. And so, like,
This was way too long. This movie should have been an hour and a half. If you're going to have only the fight sequence we saw, and I still think this fighting was great.
It was good.
It wasn't too dark for me. I think the action was good, but it was mixed up in 2 hours and 20 minutes of bouncing around the globe.
You get what, like a 5-minute fight?
Yeah. And trying to explain that, oh, well, this polar something and this and the regrowing of this and the atomic radiation.
An atomic weapon at Godzilla to heal him. And
it's weird. And it's like some weapons take them out, some recharge them. They got so muddled down in the science. When really what you wanted to see was, oh, there's all these monsters. One of them is the king, and he's controlling these other ones. I want to see Godzilla knock them all out.
But then they're like, oh, by the way, he's an alien.
What?
Yeah.
There's an alien?
Ghidra is not part of this original monster group.
I did remember them saying something about
aliens.
He's
an alien.
Okay.
Like, he's not even part of this whole thing. So, like, that's why he can control them. Or that's why the whatever thing doesn't work on him. Like, the bomb, the oxygen bomb that they shoot. That takes out Godzilla.
Oh, that's why
it doesn't work, because he doesn't. He's not
of the oxygen.
Correct. Yeah.
So my big question is, I don't get at this point what Godzilla versus King Kong could possibly look like. How do you marry these two tones? Like,
you have to make Godzilla the villain.
But I just can't imagine that they're going to do that.
There's no way they're going to make him the villain after this. He just saved the world.
But he turned
Kong's got to be the villain.
I don't know, man. Like, Kong is straight up the hero of that movie.
He is? Wasn't he killing a lot of people?
No. He wasn't protecting the people. He killed, what's his name? Sam Jackson, because Sam Jackson was trying to kill him. But I don't, maybe I need to rewatch that. I don't think he was going after the army.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe he was, because they showed up in his place. Like, remember, like, maybe you're right. Maybe he does kill all those people because they start shooting missiles at him.
But that's what I still think, though. Like, I mean, yeah, he was cool with maybe a couple of them, whatever. And you always want to make Kong into the hero because they're on his turf. Like, he's the animal that's being, you know, you're messing with him. So I totally get all that. But when you just had this movie and the whole deal is like Ken Watanabe dies believing that he's the hero and he fights the alien and all this. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do the story.
Maybe Godzilla goes to Skull Island, because they keep referencing Skull Island. You know what I mean? Like, they reference that a lot.
Yeah.
They make sure they reference Kong a lot in this movie.
Well, they're setting the groundwork. But my problem still is, though, they made Godzilla too OP unless they have to give Kong, like Tom said they will, but like they really have to give him some amazing powers, because just a huge ape that smashes things, like, I mean, these radioactive blasts against that, like, I feel like Kong's in the light heavyweight level, and these are the heavyweight monsters, sure,
totally.
Right?
Kong isn't huge compared to Godzilla.
Well, we don't know that yet, because in Kong, they say he's like a teenager. He's not full, like, he's small.
Oh, that's right.
He's not full grown yet. So the Kong that we're going to get, I think, in 2020, unless they actually push it back, is going to be bigger. He's going to be I have to believe he'll be as big as God. You know, and I think in the original movie, he is like the suit is smaller than Godzilla, but it's not like it's, you know, that big of a deal. So I could see Kong being smaller than Godzilla in the next one, but I have to believe he will be significantly bigger than what we saw last year, 2 years ago.
He was smaller, but it's like Rocky and Drago.
Exactly.
I just don't when I saw these monsters and how OP Godzilla had to be to defeat them and survive. I mean, I know he kind of dies, but he went to go recharge. He would have eventually recharged.
So Boston's a nuclear wasteland, right?
Well, and
then this happened.
Yeah, it was all, yeah, but even in the movie, though, honestly, like, it was all overgrown. Like, you saw that it already from
Godzilla was full of nuclear energy and then he explodes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, before this, remember what they were talking about the foliage growing back? Vera Farmiga was basing her research on seeing what happens after the monsters destroy things. So that's why when she comes out, when we find out that they're actually hiding in Boston, she comes outside and it's all overgrown and everything.
Right.
But you're right. Then they said that anything in a 2 mile radius, I think, is going to be demolished.
Downtown Boston is gone. Like it's a nuclear wasteland because of Godzilla. Like when Godzilla is full of the nuclear and he's glowing red, which I thought was a cool look. Mm. Like I like that look, but like things are just melting around, like as he's just walking through the city, everything is melting around him. So it's just like that nuclear energy doesn't go away. Like it just kind of stays there.
Yeah, I mean those places, no life can survive. I mean, if anyone was there, they're dead.
Yeah.
Like it's totally radioactive. So they'll have to address that in the next one. We should talk about the monsters that are in this. I mean, I don't know the monsters maybe as well as you guys, but like there were a lot that I like, Rodan and Mothra.
Are the ones that, I don't know who any of those other ones are. So they've got Rodan, who is
a
volcano
pterodactyl looking fire.
They've got Mothra, they've got Godzilla, they've got King Ghidorah, and then they've got a bunch of ones.
Spider ones and scorpion looking like the ones with
woolly mammoth looking one.
Yeah, like, yeah, the woolly mammoth was kind of cool. Like they, I think for fans of the series, and again, I don't know all the movies as well as like Matt Reedy, who will be listening to this. He knows all the monsters, and so I will like to hear him chiming in and how he enjoyed all that. But to me, from the outside, I'm like, you can tell they did a lot of fan service.
They did.
And I think they made them very detailed. They're very cool looking when you did see them. So I think it's great that they put those all in there. I just think it's a shame that it looks like maybe they blew their wad trying to fit so many in, whereas if they could have given us a little more action with fewer monsters, maybe then this movie could have been more exciting.
I was even fine with the amount of monsters.
But that's why they only give you 10 minutes of action.
That's what I'm saying.
Take
away all of that character stuff. I don't need, you don't, these movies need, you need to be able, like, you need Kyle Chandler and Millie Bobby Brown and maybe Tywin Lannister. Yeah. That's what you need. You don't need anybody else in these movies, and you can have them be your people.
Was that Ice Cube's son?
Yes.
In the military?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They shoved in, you're right, so many characters. Like, but you know, because it was like
Thomas Middleditch is in this movie.
That's what I was going to say earlier when I got cut off, was one of the more surprising characters. Like, they made Thomas Middleditch out at first. You thought he was going to be like Rain Wilson in...
Oh, kind of.
What was he? Movie was that? When Rain Wilson... was it Mega Shark?
The Shark, the Meg.
Yeah. So like they made him be like this smarmy. You thought he was like this lawyer that was going to like argue and make the government think that they were doing good, but really they were up to their...
He was the bad guy.
Yeah. But really he wasn't. He turned into a pretty good guy that was helpful along the entire movie.
Yeah.
And I thought he was really good in it. They made him not just a weaselly character. Like, I enjoyed him more than a lot of the other ones.
Right.
So I was surprised by that.
They made the mistake that so many of these movies that aren't Marvel make, which is they want it now. right?
They sure, sure.
They want their Avengers now, and they haven't earned their Avengers, and they shouldn't have given us five monsters. They should have given us Godzilla versus Mothra.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a movie, though, too, right? Like, that's out there. That was one of them.
It is. But then they should have done that. And then in the next one, then they
should have
three. Yeah. And then they want to jump right to their own Avengers, and they haven't earned it.
And this is WB, right?
Yeah.
Isn't this DC?
Oh, it is.
This is
WB. Yeah.
So that's the problem.
Which is weird.
Warner Brothers does not know how to build a franchise. All they do is they go, Marvel's kicking our ass. Disney's doing everything great. Let's make our own let's make our own Avengers before we make our individual movies. And that's exactly what I'm saying. If they could have just had one, maybe two monsters, whatever. You want to show Rodan in the distance, whatever. That's fine. Like, as a side character.
Isn't that what they did in Godzilla? Like, isn't at the end of Godzilla 2014? They say that, like, there's something else out there, and they give, like, a brief, like, maybe, like, a blurry picture of Kong.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we're just they
allude to other monsters.
And then in Kong, they allude to the other Titans.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think they wanted their cake and to eat it too. They wanted to pack all the fan service in to be like, you love these monster movies. Here's literally, I think there are 50 something monsters is what they showed on the map, and they showed a ton of them. If they could have cut it back and just did Ghidra, or could have done, you know, Mothra can come in to help save the day. Maybe have Rodan as the bad guy. So, like, you know, you can have two side good and bad guys, two major ones. And then, cut out the talkie-talkie and make it more of a monster fighting spectacle. It'd be fine, but it's like, I think they wanted the fan service, and then they were like, well, to animate all these monsters and all that, it's expensive, so we can't do as much of it, so let's just fill it with scientists globetrotting.
Right.
And I seriously, it just, in between battles, which I enjoyed, in between them, though, it was just like, come on, and you're going to lose people. And I also think that the problem is when you have a $200 million movie, this is a $170 million budget, you know, before marketing and all that.
Right.
I think they go, well, we need an epic movie, which means length, right? Like, you think of Lord of the Rings and you think of Star Wars or the Harry Potter movies. You're like, it's not hour and a half movies. So, like, this is a 200 million. It's got to go 2.5 hours because people want, you know, a lot of stuff. But they gave us the wrong stuff.
They gave us the wrong stuff. I don't give a crap about any of that personal stuff. I want to see Smashy Smash.
Yeah. I think if handled well, they could have handled some personal stuff, but you're right. And I think the overcrowding of characters, I mean, I could not tell you. You didn't even mention Sally Hawkins is in this.
So,
like, there's so many characters in this movie that we haven't even mentioned half of the good guys because their team is like 50 people.
This was her comeuppance for Shape of Water.
Yeah, see, you don't mess with
don't have sex with a fish because then you'll get chewed up by Godzilla.
See? But, you know, it's like, but obviously,
well,
you know,
she needs to be really careful because when those monsters figure out that she likes fish men, that's.
Yeah, it's bad news.
Awkward,
very awkward, very quick,
very awkward.
I think touching on what we did earlier, one of the biggest problems was explaining, and this is the problem I have with Game of Thrones, Joe. I know Tom doesn't watch, but you know, just like Daenerys dragon, you know, trying to figure out what happened at the end of that series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla somehow just knows the good humans from the bad ones.
Yeah.
And it's not explained. It's not believable. You know, we want to trust him and work with him and kill all the quote-unquote bad monsters. But
are they bad monsters or are they just being controlled by Ghidra?
Well, yeah. I mean, Ghidra is the bad one
right.
controlling the others. But, I mean, we want that. I'm saying Godzilla being a hero is cool. I'm on board. But I feel like they needed a better explanation of why he trusted this batch of humans other than just like he looked in the window and saw Ken Watanabe.
They don't need an explanation for anything. All they need to do is say, hey, man, that one with the three heads is trying to take over the throne from this guy. This guy's pissed. Smashy smash. That's all you need. You don't need anything else.
I don't know, because the other two were so good. I mean, it's almost like you're saying that you can't elevate these movies.
I think you can, but
by giving character development, I mean, they're trying to make these movies more than smashy smashy. They're trying to give us a movie.
Why?
You know, they elevated the last one. Godzilla was an art house monster movie, and it worked, and it was good. They got all the art house stuff wrong this time.
So that's what I mean. They can do it, and I wanted another one like that. That's the thing. So I think you can, but you're right. The writing of this one was just poor. You didn't care.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. And it just lost you. It lost all your interest. And I think you especially do that when making the hero the villain, you know, like making the mother of the kid that you're supposed to care about and the ex-wife or the guy that's your hero, actually, when you make her the villain, you just throw up, you know, there's so much stuff out there that's conflicting, you know. Charles Dance, Tywin Lannister, should have been the villain.
Yep.
Kyle Chandler, the hero.
And Millie Bobby Brown.
She can be there,
She could be the hero as well.
I think all that, the mother and her conflict, it just threw too much.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And when you finally get her redemption at the end, you're like, no, you killed millions of people. You don't get to redeem yourself for that.
Yeah.
Like, Boston is gone. Yeah. Like, because of you, a major metropolitan city and everyone in it is dead.
You don't get just to go, oh, yeah, my bad.
Yes.
I see the error of my ways. No, so
I pushed the button. They went away. So we're good now.
That's like in Game of Thrones when people try to tell me they started feeling bad for Cersei.
No.
I'm like, I'll never feel bad for Cersei. I mean, whether or not
she's the worst.
Like Tom at least watched enough Game of Thrones to know that Cersei's a bad mofo. Like, you're not going to. Could Cersei do anything to make you like her, Tom, at this point?
Which one was that?
She was the queen.
The blonde.
She's the one that was hooking up with her brother.
Could you ever be like, oh, yeah, she's great because she did this thing? Like,
seems doubtful.
Yeah. It's like,
you know why? Because she killed Natalie Dormer. And that's good enough for me.
Yep. Number one.
It's over.
So,
I should probably. Now, I feel bad. Joel left. Now, I feel like I should go because I'm in Mexico and my wife's like, where are you?
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
We'll wrap it up. So, I mean, so next year, 2020, you're supposed to get Kong versus Godzilla. Now, Adam Wingard is the director of that, who we have liked before. Obviously,
another horror guy.
We didn't like Death Note. We didn't really. He did something else that we wanted.
I like Death Note.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The problem is Michael Dougherty has written the script for Kong versus Godzilla. Obviously, he's written the script for this one, so there might be. Maybe Wingard can fix it a little bit. Millie Bobby Brown comes back. Kyle Chandler comes back. And that's really. Unfortunately, we don't get Brie Larson or Tom Hiddleston from Kong. So our only two returning characters are those two. And
well, I'll believe it when I see it.
You think they're not going to think they're going to. I mean, it's in post-production.
Oh, is it? They've already started filming it?
Yeah.
Oh, OK.
Yeah, it's already. They like did it all to.
Oh, they shot them kind of back to back.
Kind of.
I did not know that. OK. Yeah. I just thought, oh, they'll retool this thing.
No, I think one team was doing the combination. One team was doing this so that they could all release before you stopped caring, which actually would be in about a week probably. So they didn't quite hit the mark on that, but they wanted to get it out like in a sequential.
Right. So, you know, that's on the way. So they've talked about pushing it back, but the initial release date, I think, was next summer.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I think that's to look forward to.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I think this is a shame because the first two
should have been better.
This is the third in this franchise, and the first two were good.
Yeah.
This one was cool for the scenes that they actually gave you what you wanted. But I want to say, I mean, don't you think that maybe out of the 2 hours and 20 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, maybe 25
being,
tops?
I think you're being nice with that
is
number.
Fighting?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what we're here for, like you said. So they're going
to
have
to. There was more fighting than that. Well, I'm sorry. I'm counting the parents.
Oh, okay.
So. I did like the line that Ice Cube Jr. had where he said, he was like, man, if I had parents like you, I'd run away too. I was like, yeah that's kind of how I feel. You guys are awful to each other.
How the whole audience felt.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so they're going to have to really make it up to us on the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And don't forget, you can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And while you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And of course, if you really want to make us like it, you can check out our Patreon account at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. I have no idea what's coming up next week because
we got to catch up on Dark Phoenix and. Is it Men in Black International?
Ooh,
comes out next week.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We've got some catching up to do because I've been gallivanting around the globe in Mexico.
Jeez,
did you take the underground wormholes?
I did. I my room actually overlooks an underground wormhole, which is nice.
Ooh. So, well, there you go.
Yeah, I was like, I don't need to see another wormhole. Not after my first marriage.
Thank you. Good night. And scene.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, you've been warned. I don't have a cute slug line because I'm on vacation, people.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.